بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Tonight this is our 13th session reading from منهج أهل السنة والجماعة في العقيدة والعمل methodology of أهل السنة والجماعة concerning creed and actions الإمام محمد بن صالح الأثيمين رحمه الله. Tonight we go to the fifth point that the Imam mentions in this brief essay outlining the manhaj or the tariqah, the methodology and the way of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah concerning creed and actions. Tonight we go to the fifth point. But before we go to the fifth point, we want to quickly review, as we normally do, some of the points that we covered last week in the previous session. So let's look at the questions from the question and study guide for lecture number 12. Yani last week we dealt with the station, the status, the rights of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I hope that some of you had a chance to look at, or yani whoever received it, whoever requested it, yani the presentation or the essay of the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad hafizahullah, where he gave yani a greater detail presentation related to the companions and the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah Jama'ah concerning them, their rights and their virtues and excellence. I hope that some of you had a chance to read it. It is really of great benefit. It's something that should be studied, actually, not just read through. But in any case, I encourage you, if you did receive it, to read it, and if you didn't receive it, to request it yani free, so that yani you can get this tremendous benefit from the topic that we covered last week. Okay, so the first question that we had from last week is mentioned the definition of the word Sahaba according to Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani rahimahullah. I remember in the end of the class it came to my mind that I didn't mention this definition, so we went over some of the definitions that various scholars before his time mentioned, and we ended with his definition. This is the definition that I believe is, as the scholars of the Sunnah say, yani it is a ta'rif or a definition that is yani jami'an mani'an. And that means that it brings together everything that should be included in it, and it yani prevents from entering into it anything that shouldn't be into it. And if you look at this definition, and this is why we have chosen this definition yani to use, although all of them are pretty much the same, but yani it is because it includes everything that should be included, and it puts out everybody that shouldn't be included. Okay, who memorized this definition? We had a lot of people, mashallah. I'm going to start with Murshid now.
Whoever met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
met him, second part?
Believing in him
and died upon Islam. Tayyip. Mustafa? Same, Abdul Haq?
In
Arabic, now. Okay. So, any of the three essential elements of this definition, we don't want to go into the details again this week, we talked about it last week, at least yani in brief. Yani number one, that the person had to have met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning they were in his presence. And at the time they met him, they should have been a Muslim. They should have been a believer at that time. Not that they met him and later on they accepted Islam. At that time they were not a believer. And then the third point he said, and they had to have died upon Islam, because maybe somebody met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they were believing when they met him, and then they apostated and they died upon kufr. Yeah. So if you look at this definition and compare it to the other definitions, you will see that yani it includes everything that should be included, and it leaves and it yani prohibits anything from entering that should not be entered into it. This is a very important definition because it makes us to know who are this great generation of people, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah is praised and Allah is pleased with. We should know who they are, and we should know yani who should be included amongst them. Second point, mention the best generations of the people, of humanity, in the order of their excellence and virtue. After the prophets and messengers, the first generation of people, the best first generation is who?
The Sahaba.
The Sahaba. The first generation, yani? The Qarn, yani the generation of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who believed in him from his generation, from his time. Second, best of humanity, the Tabi'un. Tabi'un, we mean by Tabi'un? Yani? Yeah, I mean those who followed them in succession, came behind them. Yani tabi' means came behind, right? That means the generation who came after them, who didn't meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but rather they are those who met Sahaba. They met Sahaba. Yani, and the last generation, the third of the three best generations, the atba' at-tabi'een. Atba' at-tabi'een, meaning those who came after the tabi'een. Yani, they didn't meet any of the Sahaba, but they met yani those who met them, atba' at-tabi'een. And we said that yani it is agreed upon yani that these are the best of humanity after the prophets and messengers alayhi wasalam. Now the next question number 3, memorize the hadith report of al-Bukhari Muslim supporting the above answer, yani supporting the fact that the best of all humanity after the prophets and messengers is sahaba radiyallahu anhum, and then tabi'in rahimahullah and atba' tabi'in, the hadith ya Mustafa.
Now,
yani, khayrun nas, he said in that narration that's reported by al-Bukhari Muslim, khayrun nas, the best of all humanity, yani is qarni, my generation, those who believed in me in my time, thumma alladhina yalunahum, then those who follow them, and then those who follow them, yani tabi'in atba. Italian. Anybody remember wording of another narration that came also in Bukhari Muslim? Khairul ummati. Also the Prophet ﷺ said, the best of my ummah yani, is my generation, then those who follow, those who follow. And a third generation, and a third narration that also is mentioned Sahih in Bukhari Muslim, he said, Khairukum qarni. Khairukum qarni. The best of you, yani of the Muslims, is my generation. Okay, after this, number 4, mention an ayah, or memorize an ayah, yani from 57th Surah, 10th Ayah, which clarifies whether or not the companions are all equal in merit and value. Yani, which clarifies this issue, are the companions all equal in merit and value, or do they differ and vary, some being superior to others? Ayah from the Quran, Naam.
Ayah from Surah
Al-Hadid. Surah
Al-Hadid. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل
أولئك أعظم
درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا وكلا وعد الله الحسنى.
نعم. So this ayah is very important ayah, and the reason why sometimes, you know, in our question we have memorized is because actually some of these evidences from the Quran and from the Sunnah really should be memorized in order for us to yani, be firm and strong in our position to know that we are supported by clear textual evidences from the Quran and Sunnah. And it's not just an opinion that sounds good, or our sheikh said, or somebody whatever who we respect. Rather, we know that we have basis for the position that we have taken, and we're strong upon it. Yani, it doesn't mean that we become rude to other people, or that we ill behave, you know, badly or something, but we are strong, we are firm in our position because we know that it's supported by truth. Other people are just saying things, they have no support for what they're saying. So sometimes we have to memorize. If we didn't memorize the entire Quran, that should be our goal for the young and the old. I don't make any exception. That even if we are old, we should be trying to memorize the Quran as much as we can until we die, because this is so important. The memorization of the Quran and of the Sunnah. Even if we didn't memorize the whole Quran, then at least memorize some of these very, very important textual evidences to support our position in Islam, what we are upon in our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, so please, yani, try to memorize some of these ayats. Yani, this ayah from Surah Al-Hadid, yani, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he said, not equal are those from amongst you. They are not equal, those from amongst you, who what? Yani, who spent before the Fath Makkah, meaning the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Yani, this is the strongest opinion of the scholars of Sunnah, that the Fath Makkah means here the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Those who spent before the Fath and who fought, yani before the Fath, not equal with them are those who also spent and they also fought, but after the Fath. They are not equal. But each of them, each of these two groups of people, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised them al-husna, yani al-jannah. But they are not equal though. Now, the first one, yani the first group, Allah said, أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً. They are greater in their level, in their station, in their status, greater in degree than those who spent afterwards. After this, question number 5, mention the 4 most virtuous companions of the Prophet ﷺ radiallahu anhum in the order of their excellence and virtue. The order, in the order of excellence and virtue. Naam, Mustafa, this Mustafa. Abu Bakr Siddiq, somebody else. Then, Naam, Sadiq, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. And then, Naam, Muhammad Ali, Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu. And then, Naam, Mustafa again, other Mustafa, Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhum, ajma'in. Yani, the Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah say that these are the best of the companions, and that their excellence and their virtue and their place of preference is in accordance with what? In accordance with the khilafah, yani in the accordance of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for them to take the rulership, the leadership of the ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first chosen to be, yani the leader of the Muslims after the Prophet is Abu Bakr. And so he is the most excellent. And the second khalifa was, yani Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and then Uthman al-Ali radiallahu anhu ajma'in. So this is very important, yani even though, and we can't go into the details about it, but if you read Al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyah explanation or some other of the books of Aqidah, you see that Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah believe that Abu Bakr and Umar are certainly the most virtuous in that order of all the companions. There's no difference. And there was some difference about Uthman and Ali, which one of them more virtuous. As far as the Khilafah, there's no difference. And there's no yani place, there's no room for anybody to differ about this. Anybody who says something different than this, that Ali should have been the Khalifa before Uthman or Umar or Abu Bakr, a person is astray. As Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, what? He is adallu min? He is more astray than his family's donkey. Now, after this, the sixth question discussed the background of the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تسبوا أصحابي. Yani hadith in Khurba al-Bukhari Muslim. Yani he said, do not revile, do not abuse, do not speak ill of my companions. What's the rest of the hadith first? Before the background, what's the rest of the hadith? Naam.
لا تسبوا أصحابي الذي نفسي بيدي لأنفق أحدكم مثل أحد ذهبا لا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيفه.
Naam. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I swear by Allah that if one, don't abuse my commands, for I swear by Allah, if one of you were to give in charity gold equal to the amount of the mountain of Uhud, it wouldn't be equal to what these have given, yani even just one handful, like two hands together, one mud, or even half of it wouldn't be equal to it. Yani the Prophet ﷺ is saying that you people from amongst companions, yani, who came after, what about people who came after them? If you were to give, yani the equal to the amount of Uhud and gold, it wouldn't be equal to what the first people gave. Yani in just small amount like this, it wouldn't be equal. There's no equality between them. And the background of this is what the question was, is what was the background of this? Naam, ya Mustafa.
Khalid ibn Walid.
Naam, Khalid ibn al-Walid. Radiallahu anhu.
Yeah,
spoke harshly to Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Yani there was a dispute between them, they had some difference, and Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu spoke harshly to Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Khalid, he is a companion, don't speak ill, don't abuse, don't revile my companions, meaning my companions who are closer to me, who are more virtuous, who have a greater degree of excellence than others, even from amongst the companions. Don't speak ill about them. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf, by the way, what is his, yani, what do we know about him? Anything? He is one of the Ashara al-Mubashirina bil Jannah. He's one of the 10 people that, in his lifetime, yani, and they are not only 10, but in any case, in one hadith, the Prophet mentioned 10 of them, he said that you are in Jannah. And he is one of those people that was promised while he was living that he would be from the people of Jannah during his lifetime, while he was still walking on earth. Question number 7, give an example of maziyah, merit, virtue, or superiority possessed by some companions to the exclusion of others. Yani some merit that is possessed by some companions to the exclusion of others. For example, Abdul Haq.
Yeah, for example, Umar radiallahu anhu.
Umar radiallahu anhu.
So when
the
shaitan sees him,
yani the Prophet says, shaitan, he will not walk on the same side of with Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Naam. Other, Maziya.
The Muhajirun over the Ansar.
Okay, Muhajirun over Ansar. Specific, any particular person who has Maziya.
Ali ibn
Yani the Ahl al-Bayt, Ahl al-Bayt. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, blood family members who believed in him and who supported him, those people have a virtue because of what? Their blood relation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there are others, naam. And Abu Bakr, naam, and from his yani virtues, merits over others that nobody else shared with him, is that he was the sole companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave. He was the sole companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hijrah. And Allah mentions that in the Quran, where Allah has the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referring to Abu Bakr Siddiq as my sahabi. While the Shiites want to say that these people have gone astray and they have no virtue and no excellence. But Allah mentions in the Quran, naam.
We have Khalid ibn Walid, who is the first Ramsay, his sword means
Yuk. Naam, sword, yani, meaning the one who was excelled in his defense of Islam on the battlefield, naam. And that is tremendous affair if you consider, yani, the bravery of the companions of the Prophet and the excellent feats that they had accomplished for him to be distinguished in this particular way. Question number 8, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah do not go to extremes in love or hatred of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhu ajma'in. Explain, what do we mean by this? They do not go to the extreme. Naam, what's it?
It's not meant in an absolute sense.
Okay, not in the absolute sense. We don't.
And the families, I mean, they're preferred over.
Yani, their preference and our love for them, allegiance to them, loyalty to them, is not absolute. Okay, that's one matter. That's one part of it. That we don't. Yeah, and it's not absolute in this.
And the Sheikh same in the fact with that. I mean, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah ya'uduna al-ghulu wal rawafid. He mentioned that.
Naam. Go ahead.
And also la yansubuna adawat alahum nasbi
nawasib. Naam.
Walakin hum wasatun bayna tarifain.
Bayna tarifain al-tarifain.
What are tarifain? وَيَعْرِفُونَ حَقُّ فِي قَرَابَتِهِمْ مِنَ الرَّسُولِ صلى الله عليه وسلم وَلَكِنَّهُمْ لَا يَتَجَاوَزُونَ مَنْزِلَةِ السَّقْفِ.
Naam. So this answer that Abdul Haq just gave is the exact words that the Shaykh, how the Shaykh explained it in the book. And this is also beneficial. Yani, there's no doubt that it is from the way of the people of Sunnah to memorize not just the ayahs from the Quran and Hadith, but even the explanations of the scholars. And that's why, and we're memorizing Mutun, we're memorizing books the scholars wrote. We're memorizing the words of Imam al-Tahawi in his book Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyah. Remember what Imam al-Tahawi himself said. Not just the ayahs in the Hadith. And so on, books like this, okay? Usul al-Sunnah Imam Ahmed. Yani whatever. Aqidah ibn Abi Zayd. These are books that are memorized. Not just the ayahs in the Hadith, but actually the explanations of the scholars. So, the Shaykh, he said that we don't, yani, what? As far as the Ahlul Bayt, not going to the extreme, yani, it means that we don't go to the extreme with the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such that, yani, we raise them above the station that they have in our love for them. Nor do we go to take the position of the nawasib, that we have hatred for them, yani, that they are not entitled to. Yani, we don't go that far or this way. We don't go like this way, like the Rawafid, nor we go like Nawasib. Rather, we take the middle course between the two extremes, and that is that we recognize for them the rights that are due to them without, yani, going beyond the bounds. Without going beyond the bounds, yani, in the rights that we give to them or the station that we give to them, and we don't make them into more than what they are. So this is very important, that this is from the way of the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, yani al-wasat, al-wasatiyah, and he's taking the middle course, being moderate, not going to any extreme or the other. And the extremist groups, they went this way or that way. Some went to that extreme, hating the family of the Prophet ﷺ. Some went to the other extreme, raising them up to be like gods besides Allah. Even the Shiites, some of them, and they said from the principles of Islam, fundamental principles of Islam, and like arkanul iman, is believing in the infallibility of the imams. So if a person didn't believe that, they say, I read this in a book myself that was given out in the Iranian embassy years ago, like back in the, what, long time ago, back in the 80s. They were distributing a book by one of the imams, and in that book it said, this is from the pillars of iman, and whoever doesn't believe it is a kafir. If you don't believe in the infallibility of the 12th imam, you're a kafir. That's what they really believe, and that's what I have seen myself over the years, in the past, a long time ago, and even in recent times, that some of them, if they came in the masjid of the people of Sunnah, if there are more than one, they'll pray in the back lines. One of them will be in the next to the last line, and they will be in the last line. He will be their imam. They will not pray with you. They will just make believe they're praying with you, because they believe you're a kafir. Your prayer is not valid. Anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked with this. I'm sorry for that. But let's finish the question and study guide. Define the expression rawafid and the expression nawasib. What do we mean by rawafid in brief? Naam. No problem. Go ahead.
They
rejected his great grandson Zayd of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. They rejected him because of what? Because of what? Because they asked him about Abu Bakr and Umar, and he praised them, and then so they rejected him for this reason. Naam. So the Rafid are the rejectors, yani. And as far as
from their characteristics, they go extreme in the love of Ali.
From their characteristics, they go extreme in the love of Ali radiallahu anhu and the Ahl Bayt. And they have hatred for the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, except a handful that they claimed are the only ones who remained upon Islam. And the other people, the Nawas, the most severe, I mean the most astray of the Ahl Bidah, and the most harsh and stern against the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Nawasib,
The Nawasib are the ones that go to the extreme
Go to the opposite extreme, the opposite of the Rawafid, the Nawasib. They go to the other extreme. Instead of loving and exalting and raising up the family of the Prophet, they hate them and they belittle them, they abuse them, they curse them, and so on. Naam. Actually, some of them, they call them to be fusaq, yani that they are sinners and evil. Some of them even said that they are kuffar, they are not even Muslims, and so on. And also, I don't know if I mentioned last week, but Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said that from the stray groups that took on the minhaj of the Nawasib, from the most famous of them was the Khawarij. The Khawarij who fought against Ali radiallahu anhu and the companions. Naam. Okay, tonight inshallah we're going to go, and time is going really. I just want to remind us that, you know, as we're going through, I usually try to do this as we're going through any particular book, and we try to keep the continuity in mind. So in this particular book we started out, we said the Shaykh has 7 points that he want to make from the Manhaj Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah. The first of those points was what? The Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, or the Tariq of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, and the Asma wa Sifat. Yani the Aqidah in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And the second point that the Shaykh emphasized was the Ibadah of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So these two things are the core foundation of Islam, that you have the correct Aqidah in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and then the Aqidah is manifested, materialized, implemented what? In your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very important so that Assalamu alaikum. MashaAllah. Oh, I didn't see you sitting there, mashaAllah. This is very important, what? So that we don't imagine that the way of the people of Sunnah, yani the way of the Salaf or the Salafiyya, is just having beliefs. But rather there has to be implementation of those beliefs. And the Shaykh has shown that what? In first directing us to the correct Aqidah, and then the implementation or the manifestation of that in Ibadah, correct Ibadah. And the third point after that came with? The Haqq al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is very important, because how can you worship Allah unless by way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the fourth point he came with? Haqq al-Sahaba. Because this is the core of the Manhaj of the Salaf, the Quran and Sunnah, ala fahm al-Salaf, yani the Sahaba. Understanding according to Sahaba. So we have to recognize the station of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the station of his companions, that they have a tremendous role, critical role to play in our understanding of Islam, in our understanding of Islam, Sahaba. And then the Shaykh came after that with the fifth point, and the fifth point is what? Yani the haqq of the awliyaullah and the ulama, and the ulama. And here, and what is the what do you see as being the significance of him following the rights of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the rights of Sahaba with the rights of the ulama and the awliya? Why he came with this point next? What is the significance of it?
What's the question again?
The significance of the order in which they came, yani the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, status of Sahaba, and then the rights of the ulama and the awliya. How he came with this point next? What is the significance of it? Okay, no problem. Did anybody think about it though? Did anybody, you thought about it?
Yeah.
Did anybody preview this particular point that the Shaykh mentions here? Did you read it already in advance? Did anybody read it in advance besides me? I read it in advance. this is part of learning that you preview, yani, the next area that you're going to cover, what you're going to study before you, yani, came to sit down and study, that you preview. It's very important. Our teachers told us that if you want to learn well, you have to review what you've studied, and you have to preview what you're about to study. Before you come to class, you should preview what you're about to study. Read it in advance. You must read it in advance, okay? That's really important and of tremendous benefit, because it gives you a chance to think about it over a period of time, and then to try to understand things on your own, and whatever you didn't understand, and you came and tried, hoping to get the benefit when you came. Okay, so the significance here of this Naam.
The significance, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith that the scholars are the inheritors of the...
That the scholars are the inheritance of the prophets.
Al-ulama.
So that means what? That the station of the scholars comes next, after Sahaba. The scholars of this Ummah, starting with scholars from amongst Sahaba and those from the generation that came after them and those who came out. Scholars, their position and their place is of great importance. This is a tremendous part of the manhaj of the Salaf. From the manhaj of the Salaf is the respect for the scholars of Ahl Sunnah. Okay, because their position is a very high position, a very high position. And they must be respected. And we can't just imagine that, you know, like, who are they? Yani, he said that, so what? With respect, you can say to a scholar, what is the evidence for this particular position? With respect, you can say that. But not with disrespect, like, what's his evidence? Like, he doesn't know, who is he? No, he's from the ulama. And even he didn't mention his evidence, and from the tariq of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the ulama of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is that they bring evidence for what they say. But if he didn't mention it, we don't just disrespect it, just because, well, I didn't see his evidence, I ain't trying to hear that. There's something wrong with that behavior. I'm just pointing out because I've seen it. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't ask for evidence. فَسَلُوا أَهْلُ ذِكْرَ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ Allah told us to ask people of knowledge if you don't know. And Allah told us also, هَاتُ بُرْحَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ So we know that we're supposed to be asking the scholars, and we also ask for evidence. But we have to also have a proper respect for the scholars and not think that they're just regular people. I mean, they're human beings now. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today, inshallah. So, the Shaykh, and he begins, I'm sorry, I didn't make a note. What page are we on in English translation? 37? 37. And in the Arabic, we're on page 26. Okay. So the Shaykh, he says, خامساً طريقة أهل السنة والجماعة في حق الأولياء والأئمة. And let me just note here, if you read it before, and if you didn't, then the Shaykh, he briefly talks about this topic. He doesn't go into a lot of detail. And mostly talks about the أولياء. So if we have time, I'm going to just make a couple of notes about the ulama also, if we have time. Because obviously the Shaykh is summarizing the Manhaj Ahlul Sunnah in this presentation. He's summarizing. He's not intending to go into detail. Otherwise, if you see what he wrote in explanation of some of the books of the scholars of the past, you'll see the details, pages and pages and pages, in explanation of these particular affairs. He says, number five, fifth point, the way of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the rights of the awliya, and the rights of the a'imma. The awliya is the plural of the word wali, and a'imma is the plural of the word Imam, okay? So the rights of the awliya, those who are wali of Allah, and the rights of the imma, the imams, yani the leaders, the scholars from Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah. The Shaykh, he says, أَئِمَّةَ هَذِهِ الشَّرِيَةَ الْإِسْلَامِيَةَ وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ أَئِمَّةٌ مَشْهُورُونَ أَثْنَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ الْأُمَّةُ وَعَرَفَتْ لَهُمْ قَدْرَهُمْ وَلَكِنَّهَا لَا تَعْتَقِدُ فِيهِمْ Al-Isma. Yani the imams of the Islamic Sharia, meaning the imams of the law, the divine law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are imams in this, those who are the leaders in the knowledge of the Sharia, and the praise belongs to Allah, are famous imams. Yani they don't require us to name them. They are famous. We know many of them. We can name them and keep going for a long time, right? From amongst the greatest of those famous imams is, from amongst them, the four imams, from amongst them are the greatest of them, and even the imams who are greater than them, who came before them, even now, the imams who came before them, and imams who came after them. But we know that many of them are very famous. Many of them are very famous. Starting from Abu Bakr, now. But at least the four imams, everybody should know them, right? Everybody knows the four imams. They are who? Al-Imam first. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa first. And then? Imam Malik. And then Imam Shafi'i. And then Imam Ahmed. All these are famous Imams, very important Imams, and we should actually know something about them. Actually, if you haven't read their lives, at least read a summary about each of them and know something about them, who they are. Who was Imam Abu Hanifa? Who was Imam Malik? Imam Malik is famous. Yani. Tayyib. So these Imams are famous, he said. And the Ummah has yani declared the praise of them. And the Ummah has recognized their qadr, yani their station, their status, their worth, their value is recognized by the Muslim Ummah. Even to the extent that some of the people of deviation, if you tell them that Imam Malik rahimahullah said something, they might be hesitant to yani respond to you. They might be hesitant to argue with you because of the respect for Imam Malik. Even though they don't follow Imam Malik. Even if they follow the Maliki Madhab, they don't really follow Imam Malik. Because these people are people of deviation. But they respect the scholars, at least on their tongue. So if you say, Imam Malik said this, Imam Shafi said this, then it might stop them in their tracks. Because of the professed respect that they have for them. So they are recognized, their voice and their value, لَكِنَّا لَا تَعْتَقِدْ. But the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, yani the Ummah of Islam, doesn't believe that they are infallible. لَا تَعْتَقِدُ فِيهِمْ الْإِصْمَةِ. And this is a point of great importance, because the Muslims who are upon the Sunnah definitely do not believe, it's not part of our aqidah, that the Imams, however famous or great or knowledgeable they are, we don't believe that they are infallible. But there are people who do believe that they are infallible. Okay, and here I'm going to get sidetracked a little bit. I can't let this opportunity get away from me. Islamic Teachings and Overview by Al-Allama Sayyid Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai. Yani a famous scholar of the Shia. This is what he wrote. Famous scholar of the Shia. The heirs of the most noble messenger. It's a long chapter. I don't want to read the whole chapter to you, even though I've read it. Under Imamah, he said, it's the belief of the Shiite Muslims that Allah the Most High must have designated an Imam for the people after the death of the noble prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to uphold the culture and laws of the religion and to guide the people to the way of truth. Anyone who studies Islamic ideas in a scholarly way and considers them the matter fairly will see that the imamate, yani that there's such a thing as a class of imams that are infallible, is one of the essential principles of Islam. Essential means without it you don't have Islam. And then he goes on to say, there must be someone as infallible as the Prophet to uphold the religion and guide the people after he dies. Allah the Most High must appoint someone bearing similar perfections in the Prophet's place to preserve the culture and laws of the religion intact and guide the people. Otherwise, the program of general guidance would collapse and the people would have an airtight case against Allah. He goes on to say that however pious the scholars of Islam are in the Muslim community, they are not infallible. The other scholars. Not their scholars. Not their imams. So, for that reason, there must be an infallible imam. I'm going to just read one more quote. Allahumma musta'an. He said, the infallibility of the imam. These accounts make it clear that like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the imam must be free of sin and free of error. Otherwise, the religious summons would be defective and divine guidance would be lost, would lose its effect. These people do believe that their imams are infallible. We don't believe that. I'm saying this to you because even though we might say Muslims don't believe that, well, there are some people who call themselves Muslims. I'm reading this from their book. This is not what somebody wrote about them. And I have other books also. I was going to take some notes out of some of their books that I tore the pages out of the books because I want to keep it and preserve it intact the way they actually said it themselves. If I couldn't get the whole book, I took some of the pages out. Allahu musta'an. Anyway, we're throwing those books away, so it doesn't matter. Before we threw them away, I took some pages out. The Imam asked us to burn those books. Alhamdulillah. Not their Imam. The Imam of the Muslims.
Why?
Why?
Where?
Oh, somewhere. I'm not going to tell him the Imam. In any case, he said, help me, get rid of these books. So we put them in the oven and burned them in a big like can, yani, like that, yeah. So, yani, we, the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah, we do not believe that they are infallible. So, According to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, there's no one. فَلَيْسَ عِنْدَ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ أَحَدٌ مَعْصُومٌ مِنَ الْخَطَأِ. There's no one that is free from making a mistake. وَلَا مِنَ الْإِقْرَاءِ عَلَى الْخَطَأِ. Nor is there anyone that is guaranteed to be protected from remaining on their mistake. Meaning if they make a mistake, then they might stay on it. There's nobody that if they made a mistake, they have to be yani corrected. He said, there's no one who is guaranteed to be free from being corrected when they make a mistake, illa ar-Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he could make a mistake. But if he makes a mistake, Allah will not leave him upon his mistake. Rather, revelation will come and correct it, right? But there's nobody else like that. If they make a mistake, they may die on it. It may not be corrected. Maybe nobody will come to them. Like if you or I make a mistake, somebody like Abdul Haq or somebody would say, Abu Muhammad, I think you got that one wrong right there. So somebody will correct you. But it's not a guarantee. We could make mistakes and maybe nobody will correct it. And we'll die upon our mistakes. And that's why you find in some of the books of the scholars of the Sunnah, some errors that they made. They have views or opinions or something that other scholars corrected and made. Okay? But they died on the error. Some of them died on the error. The Prophet ﷺ is the only one who if he makes a mistake, he's guaranteed to be corrected. Because he is, the Shaykh says, فَإِنَّهُ مَعَصُومْ مِنَ الْإِقْرَارَ عَلَى الْخَطَى. He's not ma'asum from making a mistake, but he's ma'asum from what? Remaining on his mistake. Rather, Allah will correct it if he errs in anything, and there are numerous examples of this. And the most clearest of them is Abasa wa Tawalla. And there are others, there are many others. Now, yani the Prophet ﷺ, he made a decision about something and Allah corrected it. Allah corrected him, stopped him on the point. Don't let it go on, but he fixes it. Right? Because he's here to deliver the message, and the message has got to be protected. The Shaykh says, وَأَمَّا غَيْرُهُ مَهْمَا بَلَغَتْ إِمَامَتُهُ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مَعْصُومْ أَبَدًا. And as for other than the Prophet ﷺ, no matter how, what level his imama, his station of imam has reached, he's Imam Abu Hanifa. What do they call Imam Abu Hanifa, the Hanafi people? Al-Imam Al-Akbar, right?
Imam Al-Azam.
Oh, Azam, thank you. Al-Imam Al-Azam, thank you, Ya Umar. How, so what? He's Imam Al-Azam. I mean, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's Imam Al-Azam. But in any case, even, that's Imam Malik. That's Imam Ahmed. And some of the people, Imam Ahmed is like, he's the top of all Imams. It doesn't matter what level he reached. Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, doesn't matter. No matter what level he reached, فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مَعْصُومٌ أَبَدًا. It's not possible that we consider him to be infallible. كُلُّ يُخْتِي وَكُلُّ يُؤْخَذْ مِنْ خَوْلِي وَيُتْرَقْ إِلَّا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Yani everyone, as Imam Malik said, yani makes a mistake, and everyone, yani we can take from what he said, his views, his opinions, but we can leave it. إِلَّا صَاحِبْ هَذَا الْقَبْرِ. Except the one who is buried in this grave. Imam Malik used to point to what? The grave of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the one who amaran Allah ta'ala bi ta'atihi ala al-itlaq. Yani he is the only one, that is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is protected from, if he fell into error, from remaining upon it. He is the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to be obedient to him absolutely, absolutely, unrestrictedly. Where did he order us this with? Yani the Shaykh doesn't mention the ayah, but obviously he's referring to yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul wa ulil amri minkum. Yani where Allah ordered us to observe obedience to the Prophet. All you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger of Allah and those in authority from amongst you. And if you differ in any matter, فَرُدُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. Yani, and if you differ in any matter, refer back to Allah. Obey Allah, obey the Messenger, and those in authority from amongst you. But if you differ in any matter, you refer back to Allah and His Messenger, the Quran and to the Sunnah. If you differ in any matter, refer back to the Quran and the Sunnah. I'm just going to make a note here on this particular ayat, which is in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 59th ayat. As Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says in his tafsir of this ayat, then Allah has commanded with obedience for him, obedience to Allah. And he has commanded with obedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is by complying with their commands, that which is wajib and that which is mustahab, and by avoiding their prohibitions. Yani, and then Allah has also commanded us with obedience to those in authority from amongst us, yani the leaders, the rulers of the people, that is the umara, the hukam, and the muftiyin. Yani meaning, the whoever is the emir over the community, or the hakim, the ruler of the state, or the mufti, yani who has been appointed to give fatwa and legal rulings, yani we also ordered to obey them, because the deen and the dunya, our deen, our worldly affairs and our religious affairs will not be upright except with obedience, yani to the rulers, to the leaders, to the scholars. We will not be upright except in obedience to them, yani as a form of obedience to Allah and seeking that which is with Allah. However, the Shaykh says here, and this is the Shahid, walakin bishart, but obedience to the umara, yani to the leaders and to the rulers, the ulil amri minkum, is with the condition Allah ya'mur bima'asiyatillah, is with the condition that they don't order you to do anything in disobedience to Allah. Obedience to the ruler, to the leader, to the scholar, is with the condition that he doesn't order you with disobedience to Allah. For if he orders you with disobedience to Allah, then there is no obedience. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedience to a created being in disobedience to Allah. And here the Shaykh, he says here, please make note of this, ولعل هذا هو السر في حذف الفعل عند الأمر بطاعتهم وذكر الفعل مع طاعة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yani perhaps this is the reason why, the secret reason why, which might not be obvious to everyone, why the command of obedience to the rulers has been omitted, and it has been mentioned in reference to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani Allah said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ati Allah, obey Allah, wa ati Rasul, obey the Messenger. But he didn't say ati ulul amri minkum. Why he didn't say atiyu, and the meaning is that obey them, but he didn't mention the fail to obey, because there's a difference between the absolute obedience to the Messenger and the yani obedience to the rulers, which is subject to their obedience to Allah and the Messenger. And he said, perhaps this is the reason why Allah didn't mention in the absolute sense obedience to the rulers, but he mentioned obedience to the Messenger, and that is because the Messenger, he would never command except with obedience to Allah. And whoever obeys him has obeyed Allah. As far as the rulers, ulul amr, then yani the condition for obedience to them is that yani it is an obedience to Allah and not in sin, because it is perhaps yani that a ruler, a leader, or whoever might order one with disobedience to Allah. So they're not entitled to absolute obedience. The Shaykh goes on in the explanation, but for the sake of time, I want to suffice with that. Yani, the importance of this ayat is what? That Allah has ordered us with absolute obedience to Himself and absolute obedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Messenger of Allah will never order us in disobedience to Allah. As far as the rulers, we must obey them, but not in disobedience to Allah, because it's possible that they might order us to disobey Allah. In the past and in the present, we have seen it. The Shaykh goes on to say, فَهُمْ يَقُولُونَ مِنِ أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. They say, there is no doubt that in this ummah there are imams, a'immah. And there is no doubt that in this ummah there are awliya. لَكِنَّنَا لَا نُرِيدُ بِذَلِكَ أَن نُثْبِتَ الْأَصْمَةَ لِأَحَدٍ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْأَئِمَّةِ وَلَا أَن نُثْبِتَ لِأَحَدٍ مِنْ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ أَنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ أَوْ يَتَصَرَّفُ فِي الْكَوْنِ. يعني there's no doubt, we recognize that they are imams and they are awliya. Awliya meaning what? Meaning the people who, I'm afraid to translate this word because I don't really know a word that I feel comfortable with, but the awliya, the wali, means the person who has iman and taqwa. That's how Allah defined it in the Quran. People of iman and taqwa. And some people have translated it as what? Friends of Allah. And they translate it as? Protectors. They translate it as allies of Allah. And whatever. But in any case, yani I'm not concerned, yani, if they chose this word or that word. I'm just saying myself, I don't feel comfortable with any of those words, and perhaps it's okay. But I'm saying that there's no doubt that there are imams in this ummah, scholars of the ummah, scholars of the sharia, scholars of the sunnah, and they're also awliya, people of a high degree of iman and taqwa. And we recognize this. This is something that's recognized in Islam. However, we don't intend by recognizing them that they have any asma, yani that these imams are infallible in their views, in their positions, in their judgments or their rulings. We don't think that they're infallible, that they can't make a mistake or they can't err in anything. We don't believe that. Nor do we believe that the awliya, that these people, the awliya, and especially the claimed ones, that these people claim that they have knowledge of the unseen or that they have any control over what happens in the universe. وَهُمْ أَيْضًا لَا يَجْعَلُونَ الْوَلِي مَنْ قَالَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ أَنَّهُ وَلِي. And likewise, Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah, they do not consider a person to be a wali who declares himself to be a wali. Those are the people who say, I'm a wali of Allah. Yani, so respect me and honor me and obey me and whatever he is telling them to do. Give me your money and so on. Or whoever came with false claims in order to attract the people to them. They made claims that they know something about the future, they know something about the unseen, they have some powers to do such and such and so and so. We don't consider such a person to be a wali of Allah. يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ الْوَلِي بَيَّنَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِقَوْلِ. Rather, we say that the wali is whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear in his statement, and in Surah Yunus, 10th Surah, 62nd, 63rd Ayat, أَلَّا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. That is it not so, that indeed the awliya of Allah are those who have no fear, nor will they grieve. Yani they have no fear over what is ahead of them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the accounting of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Nor will they grieve over what they left behind. Yani what they left behind, yani their life in this world. Because they were the people of Iman and Taqwa, so they are not worried about these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored them in this way, that they have no fear and they have no grief. And then Allah says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, they are those who believe, the people of Iman. وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, and the people who used to observe the taqwa of Allah. هَؤُلَاءِ الْأَوْلِيَا, these, they are the awliya. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, those who have believed and those who observed taqwa. فَالْإِيمَانِ, in this ayat, it represents al-aqidah. Yani they are the people who have the correct aqidah. وَالْتَقْوَى represents al-amal. قَوْلًا كَانَ أَوْ فِعْلًا. It represents acting upon what we claim that we believe in, whether it's by speech or by action. So the awliya of Allah, those people have the correct aqidah, and then they act upon that which they believe in, yani in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh says, وَأَخَذَ شَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ, yani Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله, من هذه الآية إِبَارَةً طَيِّبَةً. The Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah has taken or derived from this ayat a beautiful expression, and that is his statement, مَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا تَقِيًّا كَانَ لِلَّهِ وَلِيًّا. And Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, from this ayat, he said, he made a statement, yani which we can just yani take it as it is, as a simple explanation of what this ayat contains, that whoever was a believer, and he was a person of taqwa, he had iman and taqwa, then this person is for Allah a wali. This person is a wali of Allah. Okay, he didn't do any quote-unquote supernatural, yani abnormal, extraordinary things. He didn't do anything like that, but he's from the people of Iman and Taqwa. Whoever was a believer and he observed Taqwa, then this one is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he gives a reference for this in the Fatawa, Majmu' Fatawa of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, in the Tafsir of Shaykh al-Sa'adi. And Shaykh al-Sa'adi's Tafsir, in this ayat, he mentions, yani the saying of Allah, Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim, and he says that this means yani that they have no fear of what is in front of them, walahum yahzanun, and they have no grief about what they left behind, meaning the deeds, the righteous deeds that they did in this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has confirmed them al amnu wa sa'ada, that they will be safe and they will also yani be yani successful, yani fortunate, the people of paradise, and they will get a lot of good that no one knows except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned their description, that is alladhina amanu, and he believe in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers and the last day and the qadr, khayrihi wa sharri. And they also confirmed the truthfulness of the iman that they have. They confirmed that they really have iman, and that is with the saying of Allah, alladhina amanu, yani he said that they confirmed the iman by practicing at taqwa, yani by fulfilling the commands of Allah and avoiding His prohibitions. So here the Shaykh is saying the core meaning of at-taqwa is fulfilling the commands of Allah and avoiding His prohibitions. Yani believing Allah and the angels and the prophets and the books, and then acting upon what Allah has commanded us with and prohibited us from. And then the Shaykh says, فَكُلُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا, yani Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, he said, فَكُلُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا تَقِيًّا كَانَ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى وَلِيًّا. Yani the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, except that he worded it a little bit different. He said, everyone who who was a believer and who was a taqi, then he is for Allah the Most High a wali. Sheikh Muhammad al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen goes on to say, after mentioning this ayat that defines who are the awliya of Allah and breaking it down into its two component parts of iman and taqwa, after this he says, hadha al-wali, hadha huwa al-wali haqiqatan, this is the one who's a wali in reality, yani the person who has iman and taqwa. The wali is not the one who just draws the people to himself and collects those who are around him, his entourage, brings them all together, and then he says, ana afal, I will do such and such, and I will do so and so. And then he does what? Yasta'inu bishayateen. Yeah, and he doesn't have the ability to do anything, but he calls upon the shayateen to help him to know something about yani al-khafi, that which is hidden. That's not obvious to the people. How did he know about this? With help from the shayateen. And then he dazzles the people with what he says, yani about things that they think nobody's supposed to know. And he may be the secrets of any individual or something, and they got help from the shayateen. Then he dazzles the people and overwhelms them with what he's able to tell them, yani by help from the shayateen, and then they say, the ignorant mass of the people say, هذا waliyun, this is a wali. Sheikh says, لا. لأن الولاية, this is not so. Because wilaya, being a wali, yani this station or status of being wali, تكون باتباع الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام وبإيمانه وتقواه. Yani because wilaya is not by a person telling you some secrets or something that maybe they shouldn't have known, or how could they have known, or doing something amazing like Al-Imam al-Shafi said, like a person flying in the air, walking on water. Is that possible? It's possible with the help of shayateen. Mm-hmm. Imam al-Shafi said, if you see a person walking on water, flying in the air, check out his Islam. Is he following the sunnah? If he's not following the sunnah, don't pay any mind to it. That's from shaytan. Mm-hmm. That's from shaytan. Because the way to distinguish between something that is extraordinary, somebody did something very unusual, above the normal, the way to know, is it from Allah that enabled that to happen, to occur at his hands, or is it from the shaitan, is if that person is from the people of sunnah. That's how you know. If he's not from the people of sunnah, then don't worry about it. Because shayateen can help people to do some things that may seem to be amazing. The shaykh, he says, the wilaya, it is based upon what? Following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and have an iman and taqwa. So if a person is a believer and he observes taqwa, then this person is a wali. And then the Shaykh says, ولكن هؤلاء الأولياء أيضا لا يلزم في كل ولي أن يجعل الله له كرامة. Yani this is another topic, yani related to the wali, that they may do some things that are yani extraordinary, and this is referred to as a karama, yani some amazing yani act or feat or something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to occur at the hand of the people of iman and taqwa. And he said that, but it's not so that every wali yani is going to perform some karama. That's not so. It doesn't have to be, because that's not the proof that a person is a wali. But the real criterion to determine who's wali is iman and taqwa. He said, how many are the awliya who never had any karama, didn't do anything amazing? And then the Shaykh says, لِأَنَّ الْقَرَامَ فِي الْغَالِبِ. Mostly the karama, it doesn't come except to support the haq or to repulse that which is false, not to establish or to confirm any particular person as being a wali. Allah, He doesn't make the karama occur to show that this person is a wali. Rather, the karama comes for what? In order to support the truth, so the people will know what is the truth. In order to repulse falsehood, so the people will know yani the falsehood. And that happened in the story of the boy, the magician, and the sorcerer, and the magician and the monk. Naam. And he yani tested which one of them were upon the truth by what? By the beast that was there blocking the road of the people. He said, if the monk is right, then this yani will overcome it, and if the magician is right, and like this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made at his hand something happen that was amazing in order to show, to manifest who is upon the truth and who is upon falsehood. Yani he was learning from the magician some stuff, right? He could do something, and he was also learning from the monk yani the truth, something about the truth. So this is also something to look at, and these are things that have happened in history A lot of them are recorded in the Sunnah, and some of it is even mentioned in the Quran. And Imam Nawawi mentions in Riyadh al-Salihin, yani a number of different events that took place that are considered to be karamat, yani that are confirmed by authentic narrations. In Riyadh al-Salihin, there's a chapter dealing with this. And I didn't check the reference for it, but it's there in Riyadh al-Salihin. So, yani the karama usually comes in order to support the truth and to repulse falsehood, not to confirm that a particular person is a wali. So it is not a necessity that every wali must have a karama. Rather, قَدْ يَحْيَى الْوَلِي وَيَمُوتْ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ كَرَامَةً. Maybe a particular wali, yani, may have lived and died without ever performing any karama. And then on the other hand, there might be a wali who occurred at his hands many karamat, yani by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, and we're coming near the end, and the end of the time as well, هَذِي كَرَامَاتْ قَالَ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ. Yani in reference to these occurrences, these extraordinary occurrences that happened at the hand of a wali, he said, هذه الكرامات قال أهل العلم كل كرامة لولي فإنها آية للنبي الذي يتبعه. يعني كل كرامة لولي, every كرامة that occurs at the hands of a wali, فإنها آية للنبي, then it is in fact an ayah, yani supporting the truthfulness of the prophet that wali was following. Yani the karama that happens at the hand of a wali is really just a sign, an ayah, of the truthfulness of the prophet that wali is following. That wali said he's following a prophet of Allah. And so Allah allows a karama to happen on his hand to prove the truthfulness of the prophet that he is following. وَلَا أَقُولُ مُعْجِزَةً. And then the Shaykh, he says, here goes to explain the difference in his view between the word mu'jiza, which is normally translated as a miracle, and ayah, yani, which is normally translated as a sign. The Shaykh, he has a view concerning this, even though many of the scholars use the word mu'jiza to refer to the miracles of the prophets, and then they use the word karama to refer to, yani, the extraordinary events of the wali. The Shaykh has a different view, and he says that the word mu'jiza is not the best word to use, it's not the most correct, but rather what is more correct, instead of saying it is a mu'jiza, he said you should call it an ayah. He said, I said ayah, it is an ayah for the Nabi, not a mu'jiza. I didn't call it a mu'jiza. And that is because it is more right, al-awla, and to summa ayah. It is more right that it should be called an ayah, not a mu'jiza. And that is because لِأَنَّ هَذَا تَعْبِيَ الْقُرْآنِ والآية أبلغ من المعجزة. Because this expression using the word ayah is the Quranic expression, and it is more deeper in meaning, far reaching in meaning, than the word mu'jiza. Why? The Shaykh says, because ayah, its meaning is al-allama ala sidq ma ja'a bihi hadha ar-rasul. An ayah, the meaning of it is what? That it is an allama, a sign of the truthfulness of what this messenger has come with. Ayah. As far as mu'jiza, he said a mu'jiza, yani, is something that may happen on the hand of a, yani, musha'awiz. Yani, a person who is like a magician or a trickster, or somebody who fools the people and tricks the people with something. He said, this is something that may happen at the hand of such a person, or even just a strong person who is able to do what other people are unable to do. A strong person might be able to do something that nobody else present could do. He said, this is the meaning of mu'jiza, yani ajiza anhu ghayruhu, something that other people are not able to do. So that meaning is very limited, as opposed to ayah, which means yani a sign of the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Shaykh, he said, yani, so therefore, at-ta'biyah bil ayah, yani using the expression ayah, is deeper in meaning, ablag, wa adaqu, and these two words were left out of the book, the Arabic reading that we're reading, but it's in some of the other copies of the book. يعني لكن التعبير بآية أبلغوا وأدقوا. يعني these two words أبلغوا وأدقوا mean it's deeper in meaning, the word ayah, and it's more يعني accurate and more precise. And this is the expression that came in the Quran. So we call what people normally call معجزات, we should call it بالآيات. هذا هو الصواب. This is what is more correct. والله أعلم. Then the Shaykh closes by saying يوجد أناس حسب ما نسمع في هذه الأمة يدعون أنهم أولياء. There are some people, yani, according to what we have heard in this ummah, who are claiming for themselves that they are awliya of Allah. However, if you were to examine their condition, look at them carefully, you will find that they are ba'idun an al-wilaya. They are far from being upon the wilaya that Allah describes in the Quran of being the station of the people of iman and taqwa. Rather, they have no portion of this wilaya. Yani, they are far from the iman and taqwa. لَكِنْ لَهُمْ شَيَاطِينَ يَعْنِ يُعِينُونَهُمْ. But they have some shayateen who are helping them to do what they want to do in order for them to deceive the simple-minded people who really don't know any better. Okay, there's a couple of other points that I want to mention, and I don't know, we're close to the time of the hour right now. So I'm going to refer you to just some statements that I don't have time to read. But concerning the Aqeed of Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah, concerning Usmatul Anbiya, Ya'ani Aswatul Anbiya, Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah says that the prophets and the messengers are agreed, it's agreed upon amongst Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah that they are ma'asum in reference to delivering the message. Ya'ani, there's no error in that whatsoever. And the ayats from the Quran, and the ayats from the Quran that prove this. He also says, I'm just summarizing it, he also says in reference to sin, yani the correct view of Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah is that the prophets are ma'asum from al-kabair, major sins, dun al-sagair, not from minor sins. That is possible that some prophets may have committed minor sins and repented from them and so on. But as far as major sins, they are ma'asum from that. And the Shaykh also says, yani that they are also, the prophets are ma'asum from, if they committed a minor sin or an error, they are ma'asum from remaining upon it. Rather, Allah will correct them in whatever they have done. So this is just a note, and a very important note, that in terms of delivering the message, then there's no doubt that the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that the prophets are ma'asum. Yani they are free from error in delivering the message. As far as committing sins, errors or mistakes, major sins, they are protected from such before prophethood as well as after prophethood. Minor sins, it is possible that a prophet can commit a minor sin. However, they will not remain upon it, but Allah will correct the matter. Okay, so I think I'm going to stop here, and next week, inshallah, I may read a note that I'm going to refer you to right now. I'm going to give you the reference for it, and if you have a chance, you can go back and check it. Yani the ta'liqat al-mukhtasara ala al-aqidah tahawiyah. Yani some brief commentary upon the aqidah tahawiyah by Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhullah. In reference to the ulama, I wanted to read this, but any time, I don't want to go too far over time, but I'll refer you to it, and maybe next week we'll just do it at the beginning of the class. That is, the Shaykh, he refers, Shaykh Salih Fawzan, in his explanation of Aqidah Tahawiyah, he refers to some points related to the scholars and their station and their status in Islam. And the reason why I wanted to read this is because the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in his discussion tonight, and he mainly concentrated on the awliya, because that is really a problem amongst the Muslim ummah, and how people view the awliya, what is awliya and what is not, and so on. But he didn't concentrate much on the ulama, and Sheikh Salih Fawzan has some brief commentary concerning the ulama, but I don't want to try to read it in a hurry, so I'm going to stop here, inshallah. This book, yani the commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan of Aqidah Tahawiyah, is translated into English. It's translated into English, and this subject came on the bottom of page 225, until the top of page 228. If anybody has access to that book, it's called in English, The Sharh of Aqidah Tahawiyah by Sheikh Salih Fawzan. In Arabic, it's Ta'liqat Mukhtasara ala Aqidah Tahawiyah. In any case, if anybody has that book, it's a very good book. It's a hardcover translation. It's a very good translation of the commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan on Aqidah Tahawiyah. Aqidah Tahawiyah is an important book of Aqidah, and the Sheikh's his commentary, and brief commentary, is extremely beneficial. In any case, if anybody has access to that book, in the English translation, it's on page 225 to 228. And then he goes on after that to talk about the awliya and the karamat. As far as in Arabic, if anybody wants to read the Arabic, inshallah, just remind me, and I'll send you the PDF for the Arabic commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan. It's on page 229 to page 231. Page 229 to 231, the Arabic commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhullah on Aqidah Tahawiyah. Very important comments that he makes. Inshallah, I'll try to read them at the beginning of the next class. With this, we're going to stop, inshallah. And next week, inshallah, this is 5, 6, 7. Next week, we're going to have point number 6, which is dealing with, anybody know? matters related to the Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy al Munkar. This is a very important matter in terms of the Minhaj of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah. The Shaykh is going to explain it a little bit of detail. He explains it in more detail in his explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah. He explains it in great detail in that book. He's going to explain a little bit of detail here. Next week we're going to cover that. And the final point is what is the view of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah concerning Al-Iman? And this is a critical issue in Islam. What is Iman? Sheikh also explains that very briefly, and hopefully inshallah we'll find some extra notes to complement it. And then we'll be finished with this particular course. Okay, so next week inshallah, we have point number 6, and then the following week point number 7, or it might take more than 1 week for point number 6, and then we'll be finished. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Naam.
Is the word awliya broken plural of wali?
Yeah, awliya is a broken plural of wali. Naam. On the pattern of awliya is on the pattern of af'ila. Naam. It's one of the four broken plurals that we studied in chapter 13 of Medina book.